This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
FUBAR Radio and UN Women UK present a live 24-hour radio show.
24 hours.
That was Why by Carly Simon. And now, in the studio, we have Sinclair, Emma and Ross from Sinclair.
Yay!
You need to get like an applause.
Welcome to FUBAR Radio.
Thank you.
Welcome.
You need the horn. Ha ha ha. It sounds just like that.
I was about to say, Pips, I do need the horn, but I don't know if that's the right thing to say. I do apologise.
Yeah. Yes. Don't be worried.
I'd be very worried. Welcome to the show, Emma Ross.
Thank you.
It's lovely to have you here. It really, really is. And we were just deciding then, because I know you're going to perform a song for us, if we chat first and do the song or do the song and and chat first. I see Ross ready to go.
Good to go.
He's always ready to go.
Yeah. Should we go straight into the song first of all?
Why not? Yeah.
Let's go for it.
Let's do it.
I'll leave it to you guys.
All right.
This is Heavy on My Heart. Tick tock, tick tock, take me back in time. Way back then when things were easier. I should have known from the start where to draw the line. Would have made this sorry mess a little easier. Heavy on my heart. Well, it weighs heavy on my heart. Unsteadier now than in the past. I only wish to turn the other way. That won't make it go away. So it stays heavy on my heart. No peace, no release from this cage of mine. I can only blame myself for that. I never thought I'd ignore all the warning signs. But I've lived and loved and paid the price for that. Well, it weighs heavy on my heart. Well, it weighs heavy on my heart. Steadier now than in the past. I only wish to turn the other way. That won't make it go away. So it stays heavy on my heart. Piece me back together now. Oh, heavy on my heart, unsteadier now than in the past. I only wish to turn the other way. That won't make it go away. So it stays heavy on my heart.
Absolutely amazing.
Wow, that was effortless, guys. That was incredible.
Thank you.
Loved that.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Not at all.
I was just transported to a very awesome place just there.
Like, literally the most amazing place.
Maybe it's time for your beer now.
Yeah, I think we need a beer to celebrate.
Yes.
Musical influences, what would you say they are?
Ooh.
It's a big question.
It is a big question.
Grow up with music as well.
Yeah, there are things that I love, like Stevie Wonder and the Beatles, weirdly Supertramp, which isn't weird for Supertramp fans. But,
like, wait, what?
Hang on, it's not weird.
Sorry.
But yeah, I suppose they're not massively heard in my music necessarily. I think I'm quite a traditional songwriter, but then I really like playing around with harmony and structure and electronics as well. And so, yeah, I think a lot of James Blake and Frank Ocean, Son Lux, more electronic stuff mixed with more traditional songwriting and
always go back to the Beatles if in doubt. So.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And how did you
the
two
icons.
Work
icons.
Together? How did you come across?
Oh, my. Mr.
My.
Chapman.
My.
I think through Russia, right?
Yeah.
As in the place.
basic answer.
Yeah. Just, yeah no,
through
I,
Russia.
Yeah, I was playing for a Russian singer and I was touring with her, and the bass player on that gig was Emma's boyfriend.
Christopher is.
That's really awkward. Currently.
Still going.
Very awkward.
He is. And he plays bass with us when we do St. Clair.
Yeah, when we expand.
Yes, yeah. So
and they
that's
became bum chum bedsies,
yeah,
didn't
pretty
you?
Pretty much, yeah.
I love it when that happens.
Yeah. Real man.
And when you're on the road.
Yeah.
On the road.
Exactly.
Romance.
Absolutely. So yeah, Ross was me
that.
On the road, weren't you? Replaced me.
Yeah. But then also you are Chris when he's away. Like this is the thing I've noticed. Like we did it.
Bit of jealousy going on, I see.
Well no.
It's
so
a dynamic.
I met Emma through Chris and then we toured together a lot, and then Emma and I ended up doing a random session together for a Norwegian artist. And it was the first time I'd worked with Emma before, and I was like, oh my God, they're the same person. It was like, it was just like, that's how amazing Chris and Emma are. They're just like so well paired. But
that's so nice to hear. No,
it's totally.
Nice to hear.
Oh, no. I'm sure I've told you that before, right?
Yeah, the radio.
Not in public.
No,
right?
So like, and I was amazed by how I was so used to working with Chris, and then I did this thing with you, and I was like, oh, it's like, they're the same person. It was yeah.
Great. So yeah, we're really tight and we work together loads.
Actually, Emma just came around before this and cooked me the most amazing risotto.
What was in the risotto?
Oh my God.
It was ottolenghi.
It was so
wow.
good.
Stop it. You're making me hungry.
Insane.
You are a keeper, aren't you?
I'm a keeper, yeah.
I mean, you sound like you've got the most amazing boyfriend, so clearly, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And also, obviously, we are here for the He For She campaign and we are talking about inspirational women.
Mm.
Now, I mentioned this earlier. Don't say your mum. Nothing wrong with mums, but we had a lot of those answers earlier.
Sure.
So, Ross, you're like, sure. I understand, Rachel, I understand. Noted. Emma, start with you. Who would you say are your inspirational women or woman?
You know, when you first said that, mum. The first person who popped into my head was not my mum.
Oh!
So now I feel
ouch.
Bad. My mum is great, but I would say Ayaan Hirsi Ali. Who is a women's rights, human rights activist and kind of voice of liberalism and an amazing author and general politician whose autobiography blew me away. And so I've been a keen supporter of hers since then.
Wow, that is a brilliant answer.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mum.
Sorry, yeah. Mum, but
you can't beat that.
Didn't quite achieve.
Didn't make the cut tonight.
Ayaan Hirsi Ali did.
Yeah, that's amazing. And Ross.
Well, that was going to be my answer. You totally nailed that one. But Emma put me onto that book actually, Ayaan's biography, and it's fantastic. So I'm going to go. We were talking earlier about there's a young woman called Sarah Hayder, who runs an organisation called, I think it's the Ex-Muslims of North America. I think.
Yeah,
and it's quite specific. It's about it's not just intended for women, but she's a pretty amazing woman. But she spearheads this organization for people who are sort of kind of exiting their faith and kind of like looking for direction and stuff like that. And but yeah, she's pretty great.
Such good answers.
Yeah. So good ones, because I've not heard of them. So it's like then you can actually go up and do a little bit of research and expand that knowledge of cool people to know about.
And again, we wouldn't get very far. We're looking for people's mums. Again, nothing wrong with that. But
you have to give your mum a bit of love.
You do,
but then people can't research your mum and learn about your mum.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
And like your mum can't invite all these people around for Sunday roast. And
you just can't. I mean, my mum's pushy, but she ain't that pushy.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I'll say that.
Got 35 people coming over. Get that oven on.
Oh, Bren. Now, your cover of Elton John's I'm Still Standing is out now on Dearly Beloved Records.
Indeed.
Tell us over the next year, what does 2018 have in store for your music?
Ooh, just going to keep going. I've written so much stuff and I'm completely independent. So it's just about timing and budgeting, really, because I've got so many songs and I want to just keep releasing them, but I want them to all have a chance of kind of being the best quality within my resources and stuff. And I don't really want to give up too much in that process, so it might take a little bit longer.
Yeah, that's okay.
But yeah, so I've set up Dearly Beloved as an imprint to release stuff
as and when.
It's very brave, I think, yeah, to be independent. Mm. Why? What are your reasons behind that?
Yeah, brave, foolish.
Yeah, it's not strictly, you know, a really forthright decision that I made. It's not without a willingness to compromise if there was somebody, a label or whatever, these new companies that sort of seem to do a million and one things that aren't, you know, trying to break the paradigm of the music industry. So if that came along and it fit well with what I was trying to do, then I'm all ears. It's just thus far, it's been the most efficient way of having my music ready to go. And because of digital platforming at the moment, you can just put it out and everything seemed like such a faff. So if someone comes along and says, here's some money, do you want to put some stuff out through my major label, then that's fine. I'll sell out, it's fine.
I love that. Can I ask why did you choose to do Elton John's I'm Still Standing? Because that's one of my favourite songs.
Is it?
Yeah, I love it. Cool. So I'm just intrigued as to what it was.
So I was touring with Laura Marling last year and we were flying back from Australia. I've never been to Australia before and I couldn't believe. They talk about how long the flight is, but...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I'd watched every single film, listened to every podcast. All my devices had run out of juice and battery. And yeah, all my AAAs had run out and I'd read all my books and I was like, oh, Disney sing? I mean, give it a go. Why not? I went into the kids section of the film.
Yes.
And then, it's like a singing competition film, like X Factor for animated animals.
And there's a pig in it.
There's a pig in it. And there's also a gorilla who sings I'm Still Standing.
I really want to see this film. And
drunk?
I didn't know that that song was in it. So does the pig sing the song?
Not the pig. The gorilla sings the song. And it's whoever is the actor for that. Sorry, I can't name check. But he nails it. And I was like, this is a jam, it's so good.
Is that version, is it like faithful to the Elton version?
The sing version. And then I thought, oh, that's really really cool song and I want to try and completely rip it apart and start again. So I changed all the harmony and added all these different extra parts and it's got this really sad, melancholic, completely different feel, because the other one's pretty.
It is
80s. Yeah. Kind of Elton on a beach, fully clothed. Yeah.
I'd never heard it before. I heard your cover before I heard the original.
Really?
What? Yeah. I didn't know it, yeah. I wasn't up on my Elton. I'd never heard the song before.
Get out of the room, Ross.
I'm sorry,
Ross,
you must
done
leave.
We apologise for him. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I don't know how I got into the studio. I really don't.
But yeah, that's online now, and I produced that myself, which is the first thing I've put out that I dared to sort of self-produce.
Do you ever get the fear? Do you? Because I have this constant battle of like when you're sort of producing things or you're creating things, like your own worst, you're like, you stand in front of yourself, don't you? Like, oh, can I actually do this? But obviously with something like that, how did you know like when was the right time to do it? You know,
it just started off more as a musical exercise. I think when I'm not directly inspired by anything, I think, okay, well, I need to still keep the juices flowing and sharpen the tools. And so I thought, oh, this will be a good exercise to just try and reimagine something so famous. And then it actually came out really well. I thought, could this be heard by more than me?
Could it
maybe? And yeah, it just felt strong enough and in keeping with all my other music, and the feedback I had from the inner circle was positive. And I just thought, well, think of all the amazing demos that you hear from people who sometimes they're better. I was listening to Fleetwood Mac early demos and they're just incredible. I'm not saying I'm Fleetwood Mac. I'm also, you know, obviously
we know that you've totally smashed it, actually. I'm really looking forward to hearing this.
Yeah, I really am. I'm really Fleetwood Mac.
So there we go.
Well, do you know what? That's all we've got time for with you guys.
Oh, no.
Thanks for having us.
So thank annoying. You. I would love you to perform more music for
us. I know.
That'd be
especially
brilliant.
Sort of late, you know, late night Friday night feels.
Late night Friday night feels. Because that's exactly what I'll be feeling. late Friday carries on. So just a reminder, the cover of the Elton John I'm Still Standing is out now on Dearly Beloved Records. Well, St. Clair, Emma and Ross, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming by and sharing that amazing song as well.
Oh, thanks for having
us. Enjoyed it.
We will leave you with Pure Shores, All Saints, and we're back in a few minutes time.
Great.
On the FUBAR Radio and UN Women UK 24-hour radio show.
Aston Marigold.
We've got Aston Marigold.
All my life, my mum's always been my rock. She's been amazing from obviously before I can remember to obviously now. I kind of get to see, I suppose, what she would have gone through with Sarah and my little boy. Now, you know, if he ever does wake up late at night and like Sarah's flying up and she's like, bam, like, no more tears. It's just honestly amazing to see. And it's even how, for me, I'm going, the female body work, it's honestly nuts. I can't even explain to you, like, the effect that it's had on me, because it's the whole newfound appreciation for women is on, the level is up there.
That's the Marigold.
FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, this is FUBAR Radio. Welcome back. My name is Rachel Downey. I've got the lovely Pips Taylor.
Hello.
Hello.
Your
voice
is
getting sexier.
Oh,
as it goes on. We have new guests in the studio. Can we please welcome Shit Sick and Will Hardy?
Woohoo!
Oh, yeah. Everyone's very excited that they found out they could swear.
I know. It really, it does make
how often
a
can
world
swear?
Of difference.
Yeah, we can say the name of our band.
Yes. Hang on a minute. What do you usually do? Do you just sort of say
shit sick? It's one word, like shiitake mushrooms, but shiitake mushrooms are spelled differently, so you can't really get away with it.
So good though. So good.
So satisfying.
So we've got Tilly and Cortina from Shit Sick. Brilliant name, by the way. Absolutely.
Can I
brilliant.
Ask about the name? People obviously will ask before. Yeah, why Shit Sick?
Why Shit Sick? Well, we were in Berlin on holiday, and the three of us were staying in a hostel, and we were like just hanging out on this couch, going just like having a laugh like girls do.
Yeah.
And then so we were like, well, it smells a bit dodgy. So I went to explore.
Oh, wow, we're going
went to explore, and around the corner there was a pile of vomit on the floor, and then someone had shat on top of it.
No!
So it's very literal.
Yeah, and it's a double ender. The times,
Will's face right now.
The times that we're living in, you know, like
a little bit of shock going on to my right.
Doing a double ender, then, and you can't do that for a punk band name. Can't use that then.
Where can you use it? Exactly. I mean, it's a great terminology, but I love that it's actually got real depth to
this
it.
It's amazing. Shit. Will is like literally.
I just don't know how you look at a piece of shit on set and think
That's it. That's what I mean.
That's a sign from above. Yeah.
It's genius. Like, when, like, how does that happen?
You're right. It is genius, actually.
Because I haven't seen Shit Sick today, I tell you. So, how often does
I've never
that happen?
Ever seen Shit Sick.
But they're here right now.
I know. Now I've met them.
Now we have. And you guys are putting on a festival dedicated to punk mums, sisterhood, and female revolutionary vibes on the 11th of March, this Sunday. Dublin Castle, Camden Town. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, like, part of the songs that we create are kind of about, like, women and mums in particular who are kind of, like, largely overlooked in a lot of scenarios. And, you know, mums are probably one of the most punk people out there, types of people out there.
Hardcore mums.
Badass.
And there isn't really any events where kids can go with their mums or with their, like, adults other than festivals in London where you can go and see, like, live bands, live punk, live rock music. So we just put it on because we saw a gap in the market and they were going to have lots of kids crowd surfing on Sunday.
I love it. Brilliant. Start them early. Get them in there.
And it says here as well, you respond to corrupt governments and global crisis. You guys are brilliant. That's where does the passion come from for you guys for that? Why, you know, why do you need to use your I guess, your platform for those voices?
I think, we're trying to, like, I think, you know, it's like we would, you know, we're trying to find a platform where we can, you know, do a bit of good in the world, but also, you know, follow our creative true selves and, like, do things that are exciting for us. And this felt like a way to sort of not take it too seriously, because I think as, like, individuals, we can be, we're, like, quite, like, quite, you know, take it quite seriously. But so, but that can be, that can push people away if you're too preachy or if you're too in your face. And so I think with punk it was like you can be in your face, but also the, like, we've got a bit of a twist on it where it's just like we don't take ourselves too seriously. The words aren't, it's not too preachy, it's just a bit like
have a bit of fun with it.
With anything you create, like, if you allow yourself to do the shit one, then you'll eventually get to the good one, but it's often your block to get to the shit one that prevents you from ever getting to the good one. And yeah, man, like, you know, for our whole lives as women, we've kind of been told that we're too angry, too opinionated, too bossy, too this, too that. And we're just like, well, I'm going to put that on a stage, mate, and you're going to have to, you're gonna have to
go enjoy
and
it.
And you will pay me to come and see it. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to go from Shit Sick to Will Hardy.
Best intro ever.
That's amazing. Will, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, you work for Vivo Pop Bars, and it says you produced the Brits as well.
I did.
So is music your passion, would you say?
It is what I live for every single day. Inside and out, all day long. I love it. I think it's just something, it's really easy to connect people together. And like what you guys were saying, when you've got a platform, I see so many talented artists and musicians that use their platform so well. Some don't, but so many do. And, you know, given it's 2018, they've got these huge social media followings and that they can, you know, not just through their music, but through their words, they can promote something amazing. And I just, music has just always been a passion and it's something influences me very easily.
So
love it.
What have been your musical influences growing up?
Oh, Jesus. Anything.
Everyone.
Anything pop. Anything like a strong diva, female lead. Like, I mean, not to be generic, but someone like Lady Gaga is incredible for what she stands for. Yep. I mean, like, you know, she's been quiet recently with her music, but and she's taken different directions. But rewind 5 years ago, 18-year-old me, like, her singing about being gay and that, all for it. Anything disc, like literally anything. I will listen to any music ever.
I love that. Also mood dependent. It's like you can dip in and out of what you want. It's
It's got a nice beat. And it's got a nice lyric. I'm
wiggle your
up
hips
for it, right?
And the great thing about music, which everyone knows, it takes you back. It's a memory, it's a feeling, isn't it? It just, you know, you can listen to a song and you know where you were maybe when you were 17, maybe with a broken heart, or you know, it resonates so much. So Will, for you, say you know, being in front of the camera, what is your biggest passion, or is it just being in the industry, being around music, being around producing, creating?
I just love being in media. Like, I've been doing it for like 6-7 years now, and I just love working with creative people, like this amazing room of talented people now, and you know, nods on your head.
We're pretty cool. We're pretty cool.
No, I love working with people, and I love, and like so many people say, like, what are your like skills and that, and like I just love talking to people. Yeah. I love building relationships with people. I love meeting people, and like when it comes to presenting and like interviewing people, like what you guys are doing now amazingly, is you get to learn about people and different experiences. You know, everyone comes from different backgrounds.
Yeah.
And I love doing that in this crazy batshit industry called the media.
And talking about experiences, apparently you've recreated the Dirty Dancing scene with Haim.
I have.
Can you tell me?
Someone's been on my website.
How on earth that came about? Because I love Haim.
I mean, they are literally.
They are brilliant. And the Brits, they were amazing.
They were amazing. Like, and at the Enemy Awards, they were insane.
So, Dirty Dancing.
Like, I don't know how it kind of happened, but basically
How did it happen?
It was at Radio 1's Big Weekend, and I was hosting this social hub, like, backstage, and they came over, and we had an interview, and mid, they just were like, should we dance? And I was like... Sure, I don't know.
Like, don't know where this is going.
No, like, if it's in shot, then sure. So there's just, like, picked me up. Because she's like 8 foot bloody tall. And like, I'm not built. Like, it's like lifted me up. And it was, it was iconic. It really stuck with me. So when I saw them, like, last month at the Enemy Awards, we had this, like, moment where it didn't happen again.
You can't recreate that, though, once you've had it once.
I know, but I was, you know, I was like, come on, girl.
You were hopeful, weren't
lift
you?
Lift me up.
Can we film it this time? Lift me up and film it.
Give me a piggyback, at least.
Yeah, exactly. And I do love as well that you were in a club and you felt old because S Club 7's Reach came on and a group of teenagers didn't know the words.
How do you not know the words?
So I went to Heaven, a lovely gay club in Soho. We all love it. It was in January actually, and I've only just recently turned 24, right? So 24 in gay no, but 24 so, yeah, in gay years it. Is like you're basically dead. Like
you are in gay years, you're dead, right?
So I went into this club, was by the bars with my friends, it was my best mate's birthday, buying everyone around, whatever, these group of young gays walk in, I was like, look, some fun.
Woohoo!
S Club 7 comes on, none of them know what the song was. None of them. So then, I don't get this. Yeah, so obviously I was like, whoa. And then what was the next? Oh, Love Shack came on. Now, I wasn't around. I wasn't born when that came out.
You still know it.
Everyone knows the song.
Tell me you still know it.
They walked out. They left.
What?
Yeah.
I bet you felt really old.
That's not on.
I've just... And I love how you two are like, I just can't believe it. I can't believe they didn't know S Club 7 Reach. Yeah. And shit sick.
Yeah. Yeah, they were my favourite.
They were my musical influences.
That's how I got in the industry.
Pip, I believe we need to mention.
Yes. So we have. I have right in front of me here in a pink bottle some BrewDog Pink IPA.
Ooh.
And basically, this is satirically dubbed beer for girls, and it's BrewDog's call to close the gender pay gap and to expose sexist marketing to women, particularly within the beer industry. Yeah, which is why it's pink. And it's also serving their beer at 20% cheaper in BrewDog bars to those who identify as women. And I think that is also, that's going to UN Women.
Yes, it's amazing. I didn't realise that when I saw them in the shops. There's been quite a lot of publicity about it.
We are drinking it and enjoying it in the studio. So
yes, we are.
Shout out to you guys, BrewDog. Thanks very much.
Again, can you imagine even if I had a beer an hour? That is an epic all-day session.
It would be fun. It would be a lot of fun.
I think I'm going to have to break it soon. I'm going to have to stop denying this. We are obviously here for the He for She campaign, men and women working together. It's a campaign I feel very passionate about. Let's talk about sexism in the industry, music industry. Have you girls come across sexism? How much sexism have you come across? You're like,
Where'd you start?
Yeah.
Well, I think... Let's take it back to the days when we were listening to S Club 7 and all that.
Yeah.
So in like, you know, bands and like rock music, punk music, you know, there's very few bands that you can name that have even a female member who've kind of made it mainstream. And then going to see live acts, unknown acts, there was mostly blokes. There's blokes who would do the sound engineering. There's blokes that promote the events. So to actually, you know, even to have the confidence to kind of get up there and be like, can I have more sound in my monitor, please? Mm. You know, yeah. And then yeah. you've got somebody going, there is more. And then you're going, I can hear that there isn't actually any more. But you're kind of mugging me off because you just think I'm like a pretty woman or yeah. I'm yeah. not angry
you're
enough.
For me.
Yeah. You know, it's a kind of daily thing that you're facing in music. And you just got to have a sense of humour and be really strong about it, because if that's the world we're living in, then that's the world we're living in, and we're going to have to like change that as we go along. Yeah. And just kind of take it on the chin and give constructive feedback where possible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that. With a wink in her eye.
Do you think it will change, or do you think we've got a long way to go for that to change?
It's hard to say. I mean, I hope it just changes fairly quickly. Yeah, I mean, it has to change. It has to change. Like, you know, you go to a festival and you see about two women on stage. You know, it's like, it's so rare. You see so many blokes on stages.
And also on lineups, you know, it's embarrassing, quite frankly.
And so, you know, that should change. You know, that will change. But it's... And I think, you know, I think this is a good time. I think people are accepting that. You know, there's a general consensus that, you know, it feels like there's more of a general consensus perhaps than it has done in the past. Mm-hmm. So that's promising. And
I think there is a real revolution happening in music at the moment, on a kind of underground scene level, that I think is going to kind of break through and kind of maybe create its own larger platform, because they've stimulated their own funds and stuff. So, for example, like DIY Space for London in South East London. Mm-hmm. It's a space that puts on events like First Timers and stuff like that, where they deliberately target women, people of colour, people who are like non-gender normative, inverted commas, and that make a really inclusive space where people who aren't seen on stages can actually get up and perform at a festival, never performing before, like playing the drums for the first time in front of people at a packed out audience.
Wow.
And then that's they're great. Like, actually, this is totally accessible to me. I just never really realised. And it's quite a big scene, isn't it, happening? Yeah.
That's great. So that's in southwest London?
Yeah, the DIY scene's popping at the moment, I think.
I've just actually written that down. Much.
I like this. You're going to have loads of notes, loads of notes. Will, from your side of things, have you witnessed the sexism against women around you? Have you heard things from your friends? What's your take on it from a male's point of view?
Yeah, I think it's a tricky one, where in any industry you work in, you're going to get anything. Sexism, yeah. Racism, homophobia, you're gonna get it. And like, obviously we're all here to fight for it, and obviously we're all in support of that. For me, I started off in social media and PR, there wasn't many females in charge, lots of males. And then over the past 6 years I've seen that change, but not to the point that I would like to see. Mm. Not because they're female, just because why not?
Yeah.
Like, why is that female not any better? Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's incredible. But coming from a music background as well, you do see at these labels, and I'll be careful how I word this, you do see at these labels that there are a lot of white men in charge. Mm-hmm. What the fuck's that about?
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what is that about? And there's some really close friends of mine, actually, that work at these labels that are women, and they're very high up, and they're absolutely incredible. And, like, honestly, they are inspirational in so many different ways that they don't even bloody realise, and they don't even know it, because they just think they're doing what they're doing. But they're paving the way, and, like, they're brilliant.
That's so good.
I love that. And I feel there's something in the air. There's something that's, like, a real shift going on at the moment. And I think that we should all be really, really excited about it, because, we are, like, there is progress being made, and it's not as fast as we want it to be, but it is happening. And I just think, you know, as you say, the He For She campaign, and also people being fully aware of it, having conversations about it, being vocal about what, you know, how people are behaving around them and what they're pushing for, and sort of like helping and supporting each other is just so important.
Mm. Yeah, it really is. Well, Will, you're staying with us for a little bit longer, but shit sick.
Shit sick.
Thank you so much for joining us. Wow. It's been absolutely fantastic to have you on. We're going to play your song, Punk Mum. So, thank you for being part of the show.
Thank you so much for having us. Any punk mums, this Sunday at Dublin Castle, Camden.
12 to 5.
12 to 5 in the day.
Bring your kids.
Bring your mum.
Here's Punk Mum by Shitsick.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
You've done too much, much too young, and now you're married with a kid. When you should be having, could be having, would be having fun with mums. Young and having fun, fun, mums. We'll all be on the run, fun, mums. Catch us if you can't, fun, mums. Mums. Got pregnant when she was 16. The school told her that she had to leave. Her parents, but they weren't pleased. But she's 6 says that you got to believe.
Still listening to the 24-hour radio marathon presented by FUBAR Radio and UN Women UK for the He for She Arts Week.
And that was Army of Me by Bjork. Welcome. This is FUBAR Radio. We are here for the live 24-hour marathon.
It is a marathon.
It is. It's literally a marathon.
You're doing so well, babe.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're smashing it.
It was quite amusing when we got Will Hardy in the studio still, and Will said to me, "Oh, so what time do you finish, Rach?" And I was like, 5 p.m. tomorrow. You're like, you've got a whole day still to go. Actually got a whole day.
A bit longer than a day, but you know. Just
you're a trooper girl.
Thanks. I haven't done it yet, though. Again, let me do it. In the studio with me now, we've got Patrick and Jack.
Hello.
Hello. Could you guys introduce yourselves to the nation?
Yeah, my name's Patrick Turpin.
And my name's Jack Barry.
And we're here.
We're stand-up comedians.
Yay.
Living and working in London. And we're here to try and make sure you don't fall asleep before 5 p.m. tomorrow afternoon.
You're doing a very good job.
Oh,
very
thanks.
Good job.
And is it coffee? Is that coffee?
That is for you.
Oh, good.
Well, you know what?
I want to pass it to you before I knock it over.
Here's an adorable story for everyone. I don't like coffee, so I always have to have it like in an espresso form. So I said to them, it's like a shot, basically. So
I was wondering why it was so small.
Yeah.
Gives you a hit, right?
Yeah. Thanks, Will. You're on my level right now. You're on my level. Well, let's talk about comedy.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah.
What do you guys
please.
Do? Within comedy.
So
I never think about comedy. No, I do. I think about it all the time.
It
ruins my life.
It ruins my life. Who are your comedic influences? It's a good sentence. Oh, wow, you're really thinking about it, Patrick.
I am thinking about it, because I don't want to say an answer I'm going to regret.
most of my friends, I think, I've got lots of, like, all my
your
people...
Funny
who,
friends.
Yeah, just people who I gig with all the time.
Yeah.
People like May Martin.
Yeah,
I was going to say that. Lolly Adefope, my pal Adam Hess, James Acaster, who I was with tonight.
Oh, brilliant.
Just, like, people who I work with all the time. Matt Ewins, big fan of Matt Ewins.
Right. Yeah,
lots of my old comedy influences have all turned out to be sex criminals.
Oh, dear.
All of my heroes now are women that I know.
So you know where their hands have been.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's my new goal for 2018. No more old white men who are gropey.
Jack, Jack recently wrote an article for Refinery29 about Louis C.K.
I did,
and it was a retrospective puff piece where you were like, I used to love him so much. And now I'm so sad that he's completely messed up his reputation.
Exactly.
It's not good.
It's not good.
Let's not give them airtime.
No,
yeah, actually.
Exactly.
Other comedians are available and better.
And, usually girls.
Yeah.
Love that.
I was just letting them have it.
I know, yeah.
Let's see what.
So what are you guys working on at the moment?
Jack?
We were just talking about it. I'm writing a new Edinburgh show. Because it's the Edinburgh Fringe every August, so it's basically how we spend our whole year. It's like we're at school still. We go up there for August every year for like summer holidays.
Yeah. It is literally like money. A summer holiday slash yeah.
It's crazy.
So intense.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's slash really well, hilarious.
I'm glad you said that because I'm taking a year off. I did a show last year called Itty Bitty Little Titty Piece. Nice. And I thought
I would have think I would have liked
I thought,
that.
I need a break. I thought after that, I need a break.
I love that you've taken a year off. You must be doing. Did you say you took a year off?
Well, I'm taking a
fringe.
Year
off. I think he means a year off the fringe.
Yeah, of his entire career. No. I am just doing so well now. Yeah.
I'm just going to count them.
Just going to have a time out.
He's going to need to focus on himself.
Yeah, it's in a year of self care for me, please.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, so that's what I'm focusing on at the moment anyway. Yeah. Patrick might be going and doing some plays in Edinburgh.
Yeah, I read a play and I just thought maybe I'll just do a play.
Yeah.
My friend sent me this play and it's great, but it's also very much a play. And so it's kind of... I was reading it and I was like, wow, this is a real play.
Yeah, can you play with the play?
Oh, I think so. I was reading it and it was kind of described... like one of the male characters is sort of, you know, emotional snowflake boy. Like this kind of... sort of emotionally stilted boy who doesn't really know how to express his feelings, and I was reading it and I was thinking, well,
typecast.
Yes. The upheaval will be required for me to play this part.
I could do this.
I love that already with Edinburgh Fringe Festival. It is literally, have you ever been to Edinburgh Fringe?
I've never been.
Where have you got to go?
You've got to get out there. Down. Go north of the border.
It is like a festival party atmosphere for, is it a week, 2 weeks?
It's a month.
It's a month.
It's funny though because it's the biggest arts festival. It's the biggest arts festival in the world and it happens every single year. And you go up, when you're doing a show there, you go up and you're like, oh my God, Edinburgh's so intense. It's such a crazy atmosphere, and you come back to London, and nobody gives the tiniest shit.
Yeah, no one realizes it's
is that still on?
Yeah, it's our whole year. We put everything into it. Yeah. We get so stressed about the awards and the reviews, and you get off the train at King's Cross after the month, and no one knows. It's
brilliant. You get off the train from Edinburgh expecting a round of applause.
Yeah. Carpet.
And people go, oh right, oh you were there for a couple of days, were you? It's like no, it's
a whole month.
And when I tell people I'm taking a year off, they're like, oh, did you go? Have you been?
Oh, right.
You were there last year.
You still doing comedy?
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. You're still doing comedy. Yeah. I get that. You're going to get a real job one day.
No.
Never want a real job. Don't want to grow up. I'm all good. Thank you very much.
Absolutely not.
We have been talking about, obviously, inspirational women. Women that inspire us. I'm going to ask you two straight away, just because I'm intrigued with what you're going to say. Who would you say your inspirational women are?
I was thinking about this today because I think a lot of guys, they say their mums.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, that's banned.
Oh, is it banned?
Yeah, she's...
Great.
Sorry.
I'm so happy
if I had a quid, if I had a quid
so
for every time she said you can't mention your mum, I'd actually be getting the
You'd
pieces
win a
in right now.
Oh, I'm so pleased to hear you guys say that because...
£5.50.
It's the biggest cop-out of all time. Misogyny isn't a thing because people don't respect their mums.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, every other woman I know is a whore, but my mum's the only saint, because without her, there would be no me.
It's like the thing, I remember Jay-Z saying something like, oh, he's not going to say bitch anymore because he's had a daughter. And it's like, you shouldn't take that.
Yeah, what about your wife?
You're not interested.
Inspirational women, actually, I was thinking about No Name. I don't know if you know the rapper No Name. From Chicago. I love her.
Yeah.
Absolutely love her.
Yeah.
And I was like, I went online, bought some merch off her website, came from America, took ages to arrive, and then it arrived, and then that same day I was listening to a podcast and they talked about her album.
There you go.
And it's just like a nice fortuitous little thing. But
and
she's
reaffirmed your faith in women.
Exactly.
That's something I'm going to quote.
Your girlfriend's very inspiring, Jack.
It's a long night, mate.
My girlfriend's very inspiring. Am I allowed to say her?
Yeah, you're allowed to say your girlfriend. I'm inspired by your girlfriend.
My girlfriend's
because she has
inspiring.
To touch your body. Not the reason. That's not the reason.
Yeah, my girlfriend's very inspiring. I'm very proud of my girlfriend. She's called Martina Rodriguez. And yesterday she was out sort of protesting. She was organising helping organise the women's strike.
Wow.
And the march through Russell Square through London, and they went and protested Topshop because they recently sacked some female employees without giving them proper rights. And she's been doing a lot of really cool stuff.
Talk a little bit more into the mic.
Sorry, it's because we're sharing a microphone.
That's all right.
Just get too close for comfort. That's what we like.
Okay, yeah.
Get
rid. We'll really get in.
That was a studio kiss. That just happened.
Right in there.
Now the party starts.
I'm just having my shot. Carry on.
So she's been doing amazing things
she's
yesterday.
She's been doing
yeah.
incredible things, yeah. And she works for the Girl Guides Association as a governance coordinator, helping, you know, inspire young women everywhere. So, yeah, who else do we find inspiring? I've got lots of comedy heroes. Do you know Abby and Ilana, who do Broad City in the States?
No.
They're just my absolute heroes.
I started
so
listening to Two Dope Queens.
Two Dope Queens is great.
Yeah, it's an amazing podcast.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
So, yeah, Jess Williams and Phoebe Robinson. Yeah, yeah. They're amazing.
That's brilliant
yeah.
answers.
So we're a fat fan of women, basically, and got great oh, women yeah. in your lives, which
also,
is great.
I love Jacinda Ardern.
You know, is that George Clooney's wife?
No.
Oh.
she's the Prime Minister of New Zealand.
Oh, yes.
And she's pregnant.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is incredible because
yep.
I was like... And she's like, yeah. I spoke to my mum on the phone.
And
she was... I know, sorry, yeah. to my mum.
What of it?
But I,
not the only one.
I spoke to my mum on the phone and she was like, oh, I'm really pleased that the Prime Minister of New Zealand is pregnant. I was like, what do you mean? And then I was like, oh, no, because heads of state are never pregnant. Because mostly because they're men, but also because they're... If they are women, then they're usually older. And I think it's very positive and...
Yes.
And great that she's pregnant in the public eye, leading a
country. And she's not married,
country.
And he's going to be the stay at home dad.
Yeah.
And
I fully support that, by the way.
I do.
Love a bit of that.
It's very cool.
I've said that to my other half, that we've had this big debate if we ever have kids, well, I'm not gonna stay at home. And it's like, look, how about Rach, that, you know, the one that kind of brings the most money in, you know, maybe carries on working. I'm like, it's a great idea. Then I'm like, I'm a free lot, so well, that's really my idea.
Good luck
supporting the brood. Pip,
yes.
Can we talk about mentoring, please?
Yes.
Because this is
okay.
something we're very passionate about. So
it is. So we had a conversation about this earlier. So I've done lots of mentoring in my past, just because I really love it. And I firmly believe wherever you are in your career, whoever you are, whatever age you are, everyone needs mentors. Everyone should have mentors, have someone, you know, a place to go, or, you know, someone that they can discuss things with. And tomorrow I am hosting a global mentoring march, which is in London, which is very exciting. So it's the second year. And the way that it works is it's called Vital Voices Europe. So this foundation was actually originally set up by Hillary Clinton 20 years ago.
Wow.
And basically she wanted women to get heard and to, you know, create a space for women to sort of, you know, become the leaders of the next generation and have access to sort of, you know, very successful other women. And this woman who's called Geraldine Laybourne, and she's on the director, she's a director of Vital Voices. And 10 years ago, she was trying to sort of empower the next generation. So she was like, you know, trying to mentor some people. And she kind of didn't have enough time. So she invited these women to come on her early morning walks with her. And that sort of turned into this huge movement 10 years ago. And yeah, now it's 150 countries. We're having got walks in tomorrow. 150 walks over 60 countries. And I think it's so important to kind of like share knowledge to help people at different stages of their career. And it's an opportunity for people who are like leaders to pay it forward. And then you kind of establish enriching relationships. And it's basically, you know, women are essential to progress. And if we're going to sort of, you know, press for progress and, you know, sort of pay it forward, then that's the best way to do it. So that's tomorrow. And you can get involved by looking at Vital Voices website. And there's an African proverb that they have, which I really liked. It says, if you walk alone, you go very fast. And if you walk with others, you go very far. And it's it's just that whole mentality of like when you're part of a movement, when you're part of something that's much bigger than you are, and whether that's, you know, whether that scares you or that inspires you, it's kind of, you can just do so much more together. And it's exactly the same thing with, you know, he for she, and it's coming together, it's the collaboration of it, and it's just, you know, accelerating shared progress and investing in like future leaders of the world. So it's kind of, it is very, you know, it's a much more corporate thing that I'm sort of used to in terms of, you know, my experience, but it's great. So it's being hosted by Merrill Lynch, and yeah, there's loads of what's going on, and people can get involved and yeah, sort of do some mentoring, and you get matched up with people, and then you just start a relationship.
That's incredible.
Amazing.
No, mentoring. Well, and one thing we were saying earlier is because I mentor for Centrepoint, it's for young homeless people, and
yeah.
I always was put off by mentoring because I thought you'd have to have all these qualifications, and I left school at 15, so I was like, well, I don't have anything to offer. But it's not like that at all, is it?
It's not at all, because what's really good is, like, you don't have to give anyone any sort of like your expertise, but by asking a few really crucial questions with people, everyone's got their knowledge and their sort of direction within. It's just about asking those right questions, which are really, really simple, you know, sort of like, and, you know, where do you want to be, and what, you know, looking at things, how was the best way for you to put, you know, what would you prefer to do first, and how can you put your best foot forward, and how can I help you do that? And it's just those tiny little tweaks that, you know, you can do it with anyone. You can do it with your mates, you can do it with your partner, you can do it with your friends. Like, I often go for like brainstorms and I'm like, right, what can I do to help? Like, sit down, let's you know, go through this.
Yeah, give someone the phone number of someone who might help.
Yeah, exactly. But then it's having that space that you wouldn't necessarily go to with all your mates, you know, you wouldn't go to lots of people that you know, but you can go to someone that you don't really know, because it's just like no judgment. And it's, so when you're paired with someone, or you're kind of, you know, you sort of find a mentor, and it's kind of it's a little bit removed, but you've still got that kind of connection. I just think it's invaluable and really important. And I think it's great. Everyone should be mentors, and everyone should have mentees at all stages. And I just, well up for it.
Well, my eye after that.
Yeah. Well,
watch out, Hillary Clinton.
That's amazing. Oh, yeah. Well, Will and Pip, we're going to say goodbye to you guys now.
Don't make me go. I've had so much fun.
Well, I heard again the midnight to 5 p.m. the next day shift. I'm joking. I'm staying all night long. But Will, it was so great to have you on the show. It's really lovely to meet you as well. Thank you for joining us. And Pips, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I've had such an amazing time. Go for it. You've got it.
Girl, you've got this.
You've got loads of amazing guests coming in. It's going to be a breeze for you. You're going to get to tomorrow and you're going to be like, oh, what do I do now?
I never need to sleep again.
Yeah.
24 hours is nothing you can do.
It's a walk in the park. The park was closed. And all the lights are on. Brilliant. Well, we're going to leave everyone now for about 5 minutes. We've got Naina Cherry's Buffalo's Dance. Will and Pips, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.